Greetings to each one of you this morning, in Jesus' name. I'd like to start with addressing the children, and so if the young children who come up for a class want to run up here or walk up here and sit on the front bench, you could do that right now. We don't want to take a huge amount of time here, but I want to have your attention. I want to tell you a story this morning. Yeah, I lost some of my ornaments, but the main stuff stayed. So, okay, a lot of you may have heard this story before, but I want to tell it to you, and I want you to remember the principle about it, okay? So, we were talking about the children of Israel. How many of you know what the children of Israel are? Who are the children of Israel? You know who the children of Israel are? Children of Abraham. Who are the children of Israel? You know? God's people. They were God's people. So God had walked the children of Israel across the desert. He'd been with them. They'd had lots of good times and bad times. And now they just got to the point where they're getting ready to go into the promised land. They cross over Jordan and they take the city of Jericho. And God had told them that when they took the city of Jericho, that they weren't supposed to take any of the spoils. They weren't supposed to take any of the money or anything like that. They were supposed to give it all to the Lord. They're supposed to give all the money to the Lord. And there's a story about a man, one of the soldiers there, and he went into one of those houses and he saw some stuff. He saw the money. The man's name is Achan. That man is Achan. He's one of the children of Israel. And for some reason, when he saw the money, he didn't obey what he was told. He was told to take the money and give it to Joshua, and he was going to give it to God. But he didn't do that. I'm going to read you the story of Achan here. For the children's sake, I'll probably just tell the story. So what happens is, the children of Israel, God told them that if they didn't obey him, then he wasn't going to bless them. So the children of Israel just took the city of Jericho. It was a miraculous thing. And they just took the city of Jericho and were supposed to obey God. And if they keep obeying God, then God will keep blessing them. But if they disobey God, then God's not going to bless them anymore. And so what happens is, the children of Israel didn't know that Achan had taken some of this gold and some of a garment and some other things, gold and silver. The children of Israel didn't know that Achan had disobeyed. So the children of Israel go up to another city called Ai. And when the children of Israel go up to the city of Ai, there's a little city. And the children of Israel should have been able to take the city of Ai. Okay? But for some reason, when they went up to the city of Ai, the men of Ai came out and smote the children of Israel, and the children of Israel lost. Why did the children of Israel lose? Was it because Achan had taken some gold and silver off that table when he saw it in the house and he was naughty? He wasn't supposed to? Is that why? Is that why the children of Israel couldn't fight the men of Ai, though? Did that have anything to do with the fact that the men of Ai just killed the children of Israel? It did. It did. Why? Because when you disobey God and you do things, you take things that aren't yours, you disobey your parents, you disobey any of God's authority structure, and you disobey the rules, you lose God's blessing. You understand what I'm saying? You lose God's blessing. And you'll suffer for that, and many other people will suffer for that. When you're in a church, and God has rules in a church, and you take stuff that's not yours and you say things that aren't you aren't supposed to say, they're not nice, you don't obey the rules, God's blessing is withdrawn from you and sometimes from those around you. And it can cause a lot of people to suffer. I want to tell you what happened to Achan. That's not the rest of the story. This is the rest of the story about Achan. Can you see that okay? Maybe I need to push it up a little bit. Can you see that okay? Not everybody. The rest of the story about Achan is that when Joshua talked to God and said, why did we lose to the men of Ai? Why did the men of Ai kill the men of Israel? What happened? God said, Israel hath sinned. He was talking about when the man went in there and saw the gold and took it and he wasn't supposed to. He said, Israel hath sinned and he couldn't stand before his enemies. And so God told them, look at this. These are the children of Israel. These are the children of Israel. And this is Achan. Can't figure out what happened. And this is his whole family and all his animals. And you know what God told him to do to Achan? God told him to take him down to the valley of Achor and stone him with stones. See what happened? Achan's the one who took the gold and the silver and his whole family and all the sheep and the goats and his tent and everything suffered for it. That's what God said to do to Achan because Achan disobeyed. God doesn't take it very lightly when we disobey, when we know his rules and we disregard them. When he says, don't take the gold and silver to yourself, and you take it anyway. When mommy and daddy says to do something and you don't obey, you're disobeying God. And God doesn't like it when you disobey. If God says don't do it, you don't do it. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you do it and you keep doing those types of things and you grow up big and you're disobeying God, then God's blessing will not be on you. And you'll get punished. And your family will get punished. Your whole family will suffer. I hope some adults are paying attention. Amen. Do you children know the song, But Godliness with Contentment is Great Gain? Does any of you know that song? Let's sing that song together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. If Achan had been content to be godly, if Achan had been content to give God the silver and wait until God said it was okay for him to get gold and silver and to do it God's way and wasn't trying to get something that he wasn't supposed to have, it would have been great gain to Achan. But since he didn't do that, he lost everything. You understand? Okay, you can go back to your parents now. I want to ask the question this morning, why do people choose sin? Why do people choose sin? I want to answer that question. I want to tell you why people choose sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Now that's talking about spiritual death. I almost had another board up here that showed God's throne room and heaven and hell scene. But I decided for the analogy this will work. So I'm going to point to this, but I'm referring to spiritual death. There is another life than physical life. There is another life, and most people forget about that life. But the wages of sin is death. Spiritual death. to your whole family many times, it affects your whole family. You can drag them right down into the Valley of Achor with you. Because you were seeking to sustain your physical life by ungodly means. Why people choose sin is what I'm talking about this morning. Why is it that when you have a decision to make and you know what's right and you know what's wrong, why wouldn't you choose what's right when you know the verse says the wages of sin is death? Here's the reason. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. I'll be reading most of that chapter. You could turn there if you want. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be preserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should after live ungodly. God sets all these precedents for us. He gives us all these examples of what he's going to do, and yet people still choose sin. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or the conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man in dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these, them that walk after the flesh, these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. They break God's rules, and they don't have any respect for boundaries, just like Achan did there, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. So why do they still do it? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That doesn't stop them. You know how many times that hasn't stopped us either? There's more here to the story. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Why would people do this in spite of all the warnings? The flood, Sodom, all the examples, all the people that you can point to in God's book, the Bible, who did this and messed up. Why would people still do it after take the gold when they aren't supposed to after what happened to Achan? Why would they do this? It says, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What are the wages of sin? Shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. What's that?
Death.
Shall utterly perish in their own corruption. What are the wages of unrighteousness?
Death.
Yeah, but what's he talking about here in this? What did Balaam love? He loved the wages of unrighteousness. What's that?
Earthly gain.
That little bag of gold? That what that is? Let me tell you what it is. It's an extremely short-sighted view of reality.
Right.
The wages of unrighteousness. Why do people still choose sin? That answers your question. Following the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. They promised them liberty, they promised things they can't deliver, and nobody stops them for a while. They speak great swelling words of vanity. And I don't care if I'm talking about a person. I don't care if I'm talking about a temptation. I don't care what I'm talking about. There's something in it when you decide to choose sin over what's right. I don't care if you're being tempted to lie. There's a wage that you're trying to receive. You're trying to escape punishment. The wages of unrighteousness. It's a short sight. It's a temporary. It's the pleasure of sin for a season. There's something you're trying to gain, and that's why you choose sin and disregard the reward of unrighteousness and the wages of sin that is death. The wages of unrighteousness is temporary gain. The wages of sin is permanent loss because of your ungodly temporary gain. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had a good grip on the concept that I'm speaking of this morning. He would rather suffer affliction. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, which was the world power. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that world power, if that was for him, which it very likely could have been, lots of power for him, lots of riches for him. He knew it was pleasure, ungodly pleasure, inappropriate pleasure for a season. But he also knew that the wages of sin was death. The reward of unrighteousness was ultimately death. It said there of Achan, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted it and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And everything was going fine. He felt pretty good. He had the wages of unrighteousness. They were in his tent. He made it there safely. And it was just going to wait until a time when he had schemed a plan when he could pull it out and claim it had come from Ai or one of the other cities. Well, let me tell you, God knew. And he's the one with whom you have to do. Right. They took him, his garment, the wedge of gold, the silver, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, all that he had, and brought them to the valley of Achor, and stoned them with stones, and burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. And people still choose sin. Many people. A lot of people. They're still pretty sure that they're going to be able to hold out until Ai is conquered and then deceive the people that was properly gotten gain. And then they can pull that gold and silver out and not have to hide it anymore. Doesn't work that way. Oh yeah, there was a time when Achan felt pretty rich. Yeah, when daddy tells you, mommy tells you that these aren't for you, children, you don't take one of those. If you go over there and you take those without me giving them to you, you know, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get the rod. You're going to get disciplined, okay? And so somebody like Achan, he comes over. I don't see anybody. I don't see daddy. I don't see mommy anywhere. I know I'm not supposed to have it without permission. They said if I took one, I'm going to get the rod. I'm not getting the rod. I'm not getting the rod. The wages of unrighteousness. Hey. Found out they're wrong. You guys want one too? I'm not getting the rod. He said, if I want one, you can have one too. Look. That was pretty good. I mean, it's one of my favorites. You don't always get to eat your favorite treat when you're preaching, unless you can incorporate it. Okay? So, all gone? That was good. Achan took that gold. He ran to his tent. Felt like it was risky for a little while. Once he got it hidden and covered up, all gone. Wow, just wait till we take AI and we get going and I can pull this gold out. I'm going to be rich. You know, daddy's coming back home. And in this case, daddy's God. You know, as adults here, God promises that the wages of sin is death. In this case, with the child, daddy knows you took it. Maybe your brother told him. Daddy's going to find out that you took that when he gets home. Maybe he counted and he comes back and he's like, who took one? Because daddy doesn't know everything like God knows everything, but God knows everything. God saw you take it. But you didn't know God saw you take it, but God saw Achan. All those people running around Jericho there, all the men of war. And God sees Achan, one little person running there and grab that and run home with it. And it meant a lot to him. He removed his whole blessing from the children of Israel. Oh, he's going to get you caught, Achan. Yeah, he's going to make a big, I don't think I'm that important. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Oh, yeah, God's going to get you caught. Yep, 30-some men or whatever died there at Ai. God's not going to let them go forward. Yes, God's going to get them in a bad situation. They're going to ask him, and they're going to go man by man. And God's going to get you caught. Let me tell you, just because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, don't let it be fully set in your heart to do evil. Just because I ate it, I swallowed it, I took a drink, all gone, no evidence. When daddy shows up and finds out that I took that, guess what? The wages of sin is death. I'm still going to get the rod. I'm still going to get disciplined. You understand? That's the way the wages of sin are. How foolish. How foolish. Your brother stands there and says, no, the wages of sin. Daddy said, if you get one of those, you're going to get the rod. You're like, I already ate one. Here, I have another one. They're, no, I ain't getting the rod. I ain't getting the rod. How foolish is that? We all know what he meant. And when daddy shows up and he says, daddy, he was eating those and saying that he wasn't getting the rod. They tasted good. Daddy said, if you got one, he got the rod. He wasn't getting the rod. He was enjoying the wages of unrighteousness. And when daddy comes home, it's going to be like judgment day. And you're going to get disciplined. And daddy will not be mocked. The Bible says that we're going to reap what we sow. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. And that God is not mocked. If you go eat your little treats and you say, I'm not getting the rod, it's not death. I'm enjoying it. The wages of unrighteousness. It's good. I'm getting it. I got the gold and silver in my tent. The wages of sin is still death. And you're following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This is why people choose sin. It's that foolish. That foolish. You can't seem to figure out what's going on? Until you learn to esteem the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, and have respect unto the recompense of reward, and not enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, you're going to fall prey to this trap. Because while you're not going to be in Jericho doing exactly what Achan did and getting exactly what Achan got, many people have fallen prey to this trap. There is another life that is forfeited, spiritual life. Ultimately, the wages of sin is spiritual death. Depart, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, I guess the wages of sin is death. Yep, too late. Son, bend over. You already ate it. You want that? We're adults. I'm talking to adults. You're not going to get when it gets to that point. That's why parents are supposed to train children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them the principles. You can't allow yourself to be mocked and mocked and mocked and mocked and excuse away why you allow it. You're teaching your child something that's very fatal to their spiritual life. Right. Someday they think they'll mock God too. I think of Esau. If you read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for the wages of unrighteousness sold his birthright. I don't really care what it is. It's the wages of unrighteousness. It's the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor. And you know what happened to Balaam, the son of Bosor? He got killed. Balaam brought upon himself the death sentence. Likely Balaam would have never been killed if he hadn't done what he did. God wasn't going to have him go get Midian. But they freaked out and did their own thing and disobeyed God and brought wrath upon themselves. And Balaam got killed. But more importantly, Balaam died spiritually. But he did die physically. And there are many aspects where they die physically. They also die spiritually. There's a lot of people that don't actually die physically, but they die spiritually. And they'll get the, when Father comes home, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, though they enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season while they munched on their pretzel crunch. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for the wages of unrighteousness, who for one morsel sold his birthright. One more so makes him look so foolish. For you know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought it carefully with tears. That usually works, right? Get down, look real humble, cry. Sought it carefully with tears. Look at me. Someday that's not going to work. You haven't learned the hard reality of finality in this way. We're too used to another chance, and Esau learned something the hard way. One morsel. Yeah, Achan, if you'd seen the end from the beginning, would you have taken that little bit of gold? No. Achan, did somebody tell you that God would get you in trouble? Did somebody tell you not to do that? Yes. Why'd you take it? Do you think you might be the exception? Yes. Do you think you were good for getting it in your tent and hiding it and nobody would find out? Yes. Why do people choose sin? We have example after example after example. And people still choose sin. The wages of Esau, one morsel. Was it worth it? No. If you had to do it over again, Esau, you think you'd do it? No. Go ask the people who started suffering and they haven't suffered the ultimate. That's not what we're talking about when we say the wages of sin is death. We're talking about something much worse than this. Yeah, you see all those little children? Yeah, you stand on Judgment Day, Father, with all your little children, and you stumbled into hell. Yeah, you think it'd be hard to see them get burned and stoned because of your transgression. You stand on Judgment Day and find out how hard it is to watch them get cast out for eternity because of your transgression. Oh, because of one morsel. Because of some gold and silver. Yeah, it's going to burn with you. You see that? Took everything. Esau sounds like a bad guy when you hear this. Ridiculous. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Let's go back and read the story. I wonder what Esau was like. In Genesis 25:29, it says, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was out there hunting, and he was faint." Well, this sounds like an ordinary day. This sounds like ordinary circumstances. This sounds like something I could find my situation, I could find myself in. Wait, that's not the picture I got when, yeah, God summarized it all and told you everything the way he saw it. You might be surprised if God summarized it all and told everybody about you the way he saw it.
Right.
Fornicator or profane person. He was faint. And Esau, well, that explains it. I mean, that's, okay, it would have been nice if, that doesn't matter. There's principles here we're talking about. Oh, he had an excuse. He was faint. He was about to die. He was thirsty. He was poor. Oh, he was scared. When God reiterates the story later, that didn't matter.
Right.
He was a fornicator, a profane person, and he's one morsel sold his birthright. Think about it. He's the one with whom you have to do. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with some of that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Jacob couldn't take it. Jacob valued it. Jacob couldn't take it, but Esau could give it. I want you to think about that. When you become a child of God, you have a birthright. You have an inheritance thanks to the blood of Jesus. The sacrifice that was made. We talked about that, and I had a very hard time because this would have gone way too long. But there's more to this whole scenario as to why people, because they have been, the confidence in the wages of sin is death. The confidence in daddy coming home and following through has been compromised because of people who make God a hypocrite, who try to make God, well, not a hypocrite, but who try to mock God. People who try to teach that God will be mocked. And so, yeah, the wages of sin is death, but, and then in the back of their mind, they're not going to taste that yet. Jesus did. I might get a chance to talk about that a little bit. Now, let me just say one thing. When you transgressed, yes, when you ate one morsel, I'm not talking about big stuff. It's big stuff, but I'm not talking about what we normally value as big stuff. When you took that one wedge of gold and that silver, that garment, in order for you to be saved, somebody had to die. When you told that lie, when you were dishonest, when you cheated, when you stole, somebody had to die to pay for that sin. Now you want to think that you're Jesus' friend and he's your friend. But if you'd cheat for $1,000, if you'd lie for $1,000, or whatever your little situation is, and you would for one morsel of meat sell your birthright, sounds like a small deal. Somebody had to die in order for you to be redeemed.
Right.
Let me tell you, that's how God thinks about your selling your birthright for one morsel. I still don't think I got through. (Clears throat) In order for you to be free from the condemnation of your action, Jesus had to die to pay for that. That means it's not a little deal. It's a big deal. So when you get the idea that I'll just apply Jesus' blood, I want you to understand that Jesus is so disgusted with you selling your birthright for that morsel. Well, I didn't sell my birthright. Did you take the morsel when you weren't supposed to? Yes, you sold your birthright. You only have a birthright in Christ. And when his blood covers you. And when you took that morsel, you came out from underneath that. And Christ had to die to pay for that sin. He wouldn't just wipe it under the rug. But you'd sin for $1,000. But he had to die to wipe that sin away. But you'd sin for $1,000 and just want to stick his blood on it and go. You're not too sad about your sin. You don't think it's a big deal. He thinks it's a big deal. Amen. And if he sees you acting like it's not a big deal, you're not going to qualify for the blood until you see it as big of a deal as he sees it. There's got to be a better way to relay that principle, but you got time to think about it. But you have an inheritance if you are in Christ. If you have repented of your sins, if you now see this as big of a deal as God sees it, you have an inheritance. The devil can't take it, but you can forfeit it. Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I reckon that the gold and silver of this present time is not worthy to be compared either. That whatever the wages of unrighteousness are of this time is not worthy to be compared. It's not worthy, not worth risking it. Amen. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have an inheritance because you were begotten again from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There is an inheritance. The devil can't take it, but you can give it. And he's watching for the day when you come in from the field and you're faint. Yeah. Now, I'm not comparing Jacob to the devil. I'm taking a principle, a proper principle. Jacob valued that birthright, took the blessing, and God blessed him with it. The devil has no intention of that. He's not the same character, but he still wants to steal you of your inheritance. And he's still waiting for you. And that's why Esau, for the wages of unrighteousness, sold his birthright. That's why God calls him a fornicator and a profane person. And the devil's watching. So, back to Genesis 25, the beginning of verse 32, on with Esau. And Esau said, so he just came in and said, Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Esau, there is another life. I don't think God cared if you died, but you weren't willing to sell your birthright. I don't think it mattered. There is another life to live for. I am at the point to die. Is there anything in your life that has you so wanting it so bad, so hungry for it that you feel like you're at the point to die? Or do you even let yourself get that far before you sell? Let me tell you, every single time the devil presents you with a temptation to satisfy a want, normally you're not at the point to die, but it's a want. He's saying, sell me this day thy birthright. Because that's what you're doing when you listen to the temptation. You sell your birthright. And if it hadn't been for the blood of Christ, it'd been gone. Done. When Romans 6 and all these other chapters in Romans is talking about being freed from sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. It's not talking about the fact, well, if I stop sinning, it won't have dominion over me either because I stopped sinning. No. You stop sinning from here on out, sin still has dominion over you if you're under the law without the blood of Christ.
Right.
Because you sold your birthright. And afterward, when you came back and you repented with tears, there would be no remedy and you would not be accepted because you sold your birthright when you were at the point to die and you were offered a morsel. The blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's an opportunity to be adopted back in when you meet qualifications. It's not a cheap deal. And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau the wages of unrighteousness. Gave him bread and pottage of lentils. That doesn't matter. What was it? When you heard the words, sell me this day thy birthright. You knew the conscience was pricking you. Sell me this day thy birthright and I'll give it to you. And he got his bread and pottage of lentils. He got the wages of unrighteousness, and it felt good for a long time until he was crying on his face and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Right. Sought it carefully with tears is just about as low as you can go. It's everything you can do to get it. Then it mattered. The day will come because of the people who teach false grace, teach a low disdain for sin. The day will come when there will be many people on their face in tears, and they'll find no place of repentance, though they seek it carefully with tears.
Right.
Because they were a fornicator and a profane person, and they trampled on holy things. They didn't think about the fact that they traded Jesus' blood for $100 here and $1,000 there and $10 million there, and I don't care what bucks anywhere. They traded it for the wages of unrighteousness, and you were profane. Something very holy and sacred. More holy and sacred than you can imagine for something so temporal. And because of false doctrine, there's going to be a lot of people seeking it carefully with tears, and they're going to find no place of repentance. They will be cast out. How much reproach of Christ do you esteem greater riches than the treasures in Egypt? How much pleasure in sin for a season would have to be offered you? Of course, banking on the fact that later, you'd still get the blessing. Yeah. Yep, Genesis. Let's see, he got the bread and pottage, ate and drank, rose up and went his way. Swallowed it all down. Everything's good. I got the blood of Jesus to cover me. And it came to pass. It did. As soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And what was Esau exactly coming to get? Did he think that he was going to actually lose something? What was he coming to get? He thought he had something taken care of. He thought he had it all a good idea. He had a plan, and he intended to get the blessing. There's a lot of people who sell their birthright, and they think they still got it.
Right.
And they're going to come intending to get it.
Right.
And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn son Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. No, sorry, Esau, you had a warped perspective about what you gave up. Right. Sorry. Oh, I had a warped perspective about what I gave up. Okay, I'm sorry. No, that was your fault. You find no place of repentance, though you sought it carefully with tears.
Right.
Look, the reason I'm here is to keep you from having a warped perspective. The reason preachers preach from the pulpit week in, week out, day in, day out, live and teach and whatever, study for hours and hours and hours, is so we don't have a warped perspective. You have a Bible too. And now he had taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given him to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. God was seeing to it here that the blessing ended up where it ended up.
Right.
Here we're working with people, but there's a principle here that we're warned about in Hebrews. About a fornicator and a profane person, as Esau, who for the wages of unrighteousness sold his birthright. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Because the wages of sin is death. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh, for he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Well, it was good while it was in my mouth. It was good while I was eating it, but it wasn't good when I was bending over. Oh, it was good when it was in my tent. It was good when I was carrying it, but it wasn't good when you were in the Valley of Achor. This is extremely short-sighted.
Amen.
This is ignorance. Because this is a reality that follows this. But why do people choose sin? The wages of unrighteousness. And you want to know another reason why people choose sin is because of the mockery that Christianity has done to God. And they think they're going to get away with it. And they're going to find out when they come in for their blessing that they're going to find no place of repentance, though they seek it carefully with tears. Are you used to tears working? Not going to work this time. But he was hungry. He was at the point to die. Oh, he just took one morsel. He just ate a bowl of soup. That was the fornicator and profane person who sold his birthright and got no place of repentance, so he sought it carefully. It sounds like a bad guy. Did you read the story? Did you hear how ordinary it was? That's how God's watching your spiritual life. That's how the devil watches your spiritual life. It didn't matter how ordinary it was. He got him to sell his birthright, and it had permanent consequences. I think of Jesus, led up of the Spirit in the mountain to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. A lot more hungry than Esau, I think. Probably felt like he was at the point to die. And the tempter came to him, and he said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." But that's not what he said. See, he doesn't say it that clear and obvious to you. But that's what he said. Right. Jesus recognized that's what he said. If Jesus had listened to Satan, he would have sold his birthright. "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Yeah, Jesus understands what it's like to be hungry and to have a morsel set in front of you. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." There is another life to feed. And I will focus on that one. Thank you. If this one has to die for that one to live, it's okay. This one's at the point to die, and this one's gonna live. It's okay. Jesus wasn't talking about man shall not live by every word of God, bread alone, but by every word of God. I can eat that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about another life that was right now trying to be killed, slain. And with Jesus, it would have been a huge victory for the devil. "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Jesus said, "No, thank you." The devil wasn't worried about the physical life. He was worried about the spiritual life. And he was hoping that Jesus would be focused on the physical life and trade in the spiritual life. Because he sees the value of what I'm talking about. And he's hoping that you'll be focused on the physical life and trade in the spiritual life. When he says, "Sell me this day thy birthright," it's a spiritual life. And he's focused on you. He's hoping that you will focus on your physical need or want. Anything that has to do with the physical life. And you'll be like, "This can live. And this, what good does this birthright do me if I'm going to die? You can have that. Give me this." He's hoping that you'll be that short-sighted. He's playing on your ignorance. He's trying to make you look really stupid. But once you sell it, you sold it. And once you trample Jesus underfoot, the blood of the covenant wherewith you were sanctified, he takes offense to it. There's boundaries about how much you can play around with this stuff and still come in for the blessing. "The devil taking them up to the holy city and set them on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, Sell me this day thy birthright. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, All these things will I give thee, the wages of unrighteousness, if thou wilt sell me this day thy birthright. I have everything you want. Physical life at the best, the greatest. If you'll just..." "Thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus saith unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He wasn't going to make a fool out of Jesus. Is he going to make a fool out of us? He's done it to many, many people. I think of Eve. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Remember, there is another life. There is another life. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Liar. The devil knew all about the other life.
Right.
And he had physical consequences too. But because sentence against that aspect was not executed speedily, he thought he'd get away with his lie. Ye shall not surely die. Sell me this day thy birthright. Why are you so worried about that anyway? For God did know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the wages of unrighteousness, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took. Oh, what a birthright she sold. When Adam gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And what a birthright they sold. Liar. And they found no place of repentance in reverse of the consequences that took place. No matter how many tears there were.
Right.
Someday, when we look back from an eternal perspective, we're going to see how much was traded because of profanity. Treating things that were holy as common.
Right.
How much bad influence, how much the devil got in, how much we sold. How much we traded. And wow, the devil knew he was a shrewd negotiator. He had me all fooled. He had me thinking it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah, the birthright won't do you any good. I'll give you what you want today. And look the kind of deals he makes. People fall for him. And the trade is like, whoa! Yeah, we can see it in others. Do you have enough faith to believe that he's that shrewd and interested in what you have in your spiritual life, in your children, in your influence, your testimony? The blessing of God on your life? There's a lot to that spiritual life and that spiritual birthright. Some of that can never be recovered. And many people who think that they'll still get to heaven in spite of it are going to find that when they come in for the blessing, there's no place of repentance because they're still profane. They made a deal. They thought the blood of Jesus would cover it. And God says, I'm so disgusted with that sin that for me to ever accept you, I'd have to send my son to die to pay for that sin. And you traded it for $100. You don't have the same mind as me. You're profane. You're selfish. Well, I was dependent on the blood of Jesus. Yeah, you profane person. You don't even know what the blood of Jesus is. You know what it took to get the blood of Jesus? Do you know why it takes the blood of Jesus to wipe that sin away? That's because I hate it an awful lot. And you want to claim to have the heart and mind of God, but you'd commit that sin for... No, we're not in fellowship, God says. No, you don't have the mind of Christ. No, because the mind of Christ would mean you would rather die than commit that sin. Because the mind of Christ would die for you to get rid of that sin, otherwise you couldn't be accepted. It's all a big deal. One more so, that's a big deal. How many people are going to be on their face crying and finding no place of repentance? Do you view your sin as a big deal, or is it, oh, I did bad, I'm sorry. Barely, maybe never even shed a tear over it, maybe shed a tear. God shed his blood. You think I'm sorry is going to get you go to heaven? No. God shed his blood to cover that transgression. If you meet qualifications and are filled with the mind of Christ that views that sin as big as he sees it, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And when you're Esau's position, coming in for the blessing, and it's not given, I have no one, none for you, you can let your mind reel with the reality and finality.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. Studying these things and teaching these things brings grave sobriety to my own life. I'm not telling you things that I think I've got down pat. But these are realities of Scripture. I need to have the mind of Christ if I want to receive the blessing. I need to esteem the reproach of Christ, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of the world power of Egypt. I would rather Christ reproach. I'd rather get whipped out of the temple and counted a joy. I'd rather be singing in the prison than be the ruling emperor of the world. Those are drastic differences. Moses made that decision. He had the opportunity in a way that none of us have that opportunity. Yeah, I'm that type of person. But when I'm at the point to die, I'd take the morsel. The blood of Jesus will cover it. Do you have the mind of Christ? You got Ananias and Sapphira to sell their birthright over a little dishonesty about an offering to the church. Doesn't matter what it is. When Adam sold his birthright, it was very similar to the victory that the devil would have had over Jesus if Jesus had sold his birthright. You ever think Adam thought about the Valley of Achor? All the children, all the animals, all the suffering that he brought upon his family, the human race, when he sold his birthright? That had long-reaching effects. No, he didn't know it at the time. He didn't know what it was going to do. It was just take some fruit. Wife took it. She's fine. She's over there munching on her little pretzel. She's fine. Tasted good. Swallowed. Everything's good. Good. You didn't die. Devil must be right. There must be some truth to this. Sure. Give me a bite. Because sentence wasn't executed speedily, he fell too. The devil loves this season. He takes advantage of it. You take the wages, you filled up, and he went his way. Yep, don't worry, Esau. You'll come back for the blessing later. Don't worry. You don't have to sell. Jacob couldn't take it, but Esau could give it. You can choose the reproach of Christ, greater riches than anything the world has to offer. A lot of times you'll find that the wages of unrighteousness are simply fulfilling good God-given appetites in an improper way. One more so. I'm hungry. Oh, but if it requires trading something, my birthright, something spiritual, ho-ho, No. No, this became a big deal in a hurry. No, if it requires some dishonesty, I need to make a living for my family. I need to make money. Here's an opportunity. If it requires a shade of dishonesty. Nope, not selling my birthright for it. Nope, you'll see me die first, physically. But godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What would it be for you? What would it be for you? No, you never heard the devil come and ask you to sell you your birthright. No. No, he got him to sell his birthright via Jacob. Jacob wasn't really the criminal in the situation. But Esau got big punishment for that. What would it be for you? Well, I'm not going to sell my birthright. Okay. You'll be waiting. You better be shrewd. You better be wise. You better be in prayer, in tune with God. Because that ordeal, the wages of unrighteousness, oh, I wouldn't take money and do something wrong. That's good. The devil has many ways to get to you. The wages of unrighteousness, the do something wrong to avoid punishment, the gain here in any way, prestige, honor, riches, whatever it is, to get you to do something like this. Listen to the devil. Take the gold and the silver, when that was supposed to be God's. And then later, all the spoils they could divide up amongst themselves. Soon this would be no crime at all. But that was supposed to be the Lord's. But I might not have that opportunity. Doesn't matter. That's supposed to be the Lord's.
Right.
And that turned into that. The wages of sin is death. You can love the. You can follow the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. And you can love the wages of unrighteousness. But that's not going to last very long. It's pretty short-lived. Esau got his morsel and went his way. This is the reality of what you have before you as you walk forward in your spiritual journey. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose many, many times. You've got a shrewd enemy. He sees that spiritual life as quite valuable. And he'd love to get you to trade it for a morsel. He'd love to see what you like, watch your appetites, offer you a wage, let you enjoy it for a time. If you have godliness with contentment, you're going to be hard for him to lure if you're content to be godly at the expense of everything else. It's going to be very hard for him to lure. Let's sing that song then as a congregation, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I think we brought this to above a children's level here.
But godliness with contentment is